See those new Reese's peanut butter cups? They got potato chips in them. Why can't things just be like they are? The old time religion, amen? And that is in Jesus Christ. We just sang great things He has done. And I know there's some great things because He saved me. He saved me, and that has been a great, great thing. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to 1 John. And we're going to go to 1 John chapter 3. If you don't mind standing, and we'll do this in honor of the Word. John tells us that there's three in heaven that bear witness: God, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. So we're standing tonight to reference that Word, amen, which is Jesus Christ. You have 1 John. Make sure I got 2 John. No, I don't want 2 John. I want 1 John, right? 1 John chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 4. Chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, oh, that's not the right one. I'm in Peter. All right, bear with me. 1 John chapter, I was. Okay. Huh? Did I say chapter 3? I meant chapter 5. I'm sorry, I didn't even open my notes. I'm sorry. 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Okay. Chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just bow before you tonight. We give you praise and honor and glory, Lord, for all that you've done for us. We stand here tonight in awe of the greatness that you've done for us, saving our souls and giving us that one way to heaven, and that's through you. We just stand here tonight, Lord, to praise you, to honor you, and give you the glory that you deserve for saving each one of us. We ask you, Lord, and I just beg you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just touch me, that I might be able to say those things, would glorify you, and that the Holy Spirit would touch each one that's here tonight, that we might glory in those great promises that you've given to us. We ask you for these blessings, Father, in your precious name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we start tonight, I just wanted to mention this morning, I was totally blessed by Paul's message. I believe Paul's been called to preach. Amen. And he's been blessed with the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit that just filled me with today, knowing that there's only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you don't have to turn there with me, but the book of Colossians tells us that we need to look at the things of above. We need to keep our eyes focused on heaven. We need to keep our eyes focused, of course, first of all, on Jesus Christ. I pleaded with the Lord all day long. I said, "Lord," you know, not all day. I've been pleading with him all week, not only to heal me, but to give me the Holy Spirit that I might be able to say something that would glorify him as we stand here tonight. And he just spoke to me finally on the way over here. He says, "Brother Doug," he says, "if you want the Holy Spirit, preach Jesus Christ." So hopefully tonight we will be preaching Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. Amen. Amen. I'm going to just take a little moment here and kind of put a little bit of a disclaimer to the message. Well, I have two disclaimers. First of all, our message tonight is just for those that are saved, for those of us that are here saved. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, if you're here tonight and just playing church and know you're not saved, just sit back and relax, because the message about Jesus Christ is for those of us who are saved. So just relax. The second disclaimer I just found out was James showed me a little cartoon on Dennis the Menace, and he was getting some money out of the collection plate, and he said, "Do we get a refund if the message is poor?" So hopefully tonight there won't be any refunds, because we're going to be preaching Jesus. Amen. 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 John, beloved, in his exhorts, I'm just blessed with John. I love John. I think we all love Paul. Paul is one of everyone's favorite. But John the Beloved is just something special to me because he radiates the love of Christ. And just to be able to have that type of love for mankind and for your Savior, it's a blessing. And that's what John does throughout all his writings. We see, first of all, that we see John the Beloved, he's witnessing about the faith, about our faith. Faith is what saves us. And where do we get our faith? We get our faith through Jesus Christ. It's a gift. We can't earn faith. We can't muster up faith. It is a gift that God gives us so that we can accept His Son, Jesus Christ. If you look at verse 4 in chapter 5, now see, I've already changed over to Revelation. Chapter 5, verse 4 says, it says, therefore, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. John is using the word whatsoever. Whatsoever can encompass a lot of things. And I think mainly whatsoever is actually talking about people. All right? But if he goes back, if we go back to verse 1, John says, whosoever believeth in Jesus is the Christ is born of God. He's referring to a particular people. Whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Does that sound familiar? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. In this amazing way, John just denotes that everyone has an opportunity to get to know Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus came into the world so that we can be born again. Born again kind of denotes that we're conceived, we're regenerated, we're saved. If you're saved tonight, then you've been regenerated. You've been born again. Here, John, I think, starts to use a different word other than being born again. If you say, look at verse 4. He says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and the world even our faith. Through faith, folks, we know that Jesus is the Christ. John uses the word overcometh 11 times in 1 John and in Revelation. When someone in the Bible repeats a word over and over and over again, it must be pretty important for us. So we need to take note of what a overcomer is. The Greek word overcomer means someone that has overcome something. He has become victory over something. The Greek word for overcomer is a Greek word, if I can find it. It's nikeo. I'm no theologian, but the Greek word nikeo means overcomer. And what do you think the root word of nikeo is? Nike. Anybody in the sports field, you want to be victorious? You're going to wear the best tennis shoes you can. You're going to wear the ones that are victorious. So you're going to wear Nikes, right? And that's where the word that word came from. In the Greek also, the word overcomer kind of denotes two different things. First of all, a sports arena, and then the arena of the conqueror or the war, the type of military type things. I think each of us sometime in life has loved that, to get that adrenaline rush from having a victory over something. When you've overcome something, you have that adrenaline rush. You know, I've never really played sports, high school, but I was one of the backyard players of all time. But when we first moved down to Virginia, when I was just a young boy, I was 9 years old. And we used to go out at lunchtime and play football. And, of course, I was new, and I didn't know hardly any. I only knew one or two other guys. I wanted to be accepted. So we were out there playing football, and the principal, he would play the quarterback. And so one time I was out there, one of my first days out there, he threw the ball right to me. And, man, I turned around, I grabbed that ball, and I can still remember running as fast as I could. I mean, my legs were going 100 miles an hour, because I wanted to get that touchdown, because I wanted to be accepted, I wanted to be victorious, I wanted to be a conqueror. I made it, but, you know, it's just a little silly illustration. One of the other illustrations is in the military field. I wasn't in the military, but I won a victory over a great battle, folks, when I was liberated from Mormonism. That's a victorious physical spiritual battle. And I just praise God for that, as we'll probably touch about that a little bit later. You know, Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you're saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." To get the faith to be saved is the gift of God. And salvation is a gift, like Paul preached this morning. There's only one way. We can't earn our way. We can't earn victory over our sin by ourselves and become an overcomer by ourselves. We can't do it. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me, and he gave himself for me." When we get saved, Christ dwells in us, folks. And that is what the way we get saved. We get to become, maybe we might want to talk about being an overcomer. Go back to me with regular John 16. John 16, and I'm going to read verse 33 this time. John 16, verse 33. "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye have tribulations, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Who overcame the world? Who overcame sin? That is Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. John, beloved, answers this same question in 1 John 5:5. You go back to 1 John with me. 'Cause we're going to be there a couple times. 1 John chapter 5. And this, I think, gives us the answer to who is a overcomer. We can't overcome sin on ourselves. Jesus said he overcame the world, sin and death. And in verse 5, John tells us just who overcomers are. In verse 5, he says, "Who is it that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God." Do you believe tonight? As I mentioned, we're trying to preach to those of us that are saved. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? That he died and he bled on the cross of Calvary and was raised 3 days later. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, folks, you are a overcomer. You are one that overcometh. And you are an overcomer, and I'm an overcomer. I've never been able to overcome anything in my life. Everything I had to do had to be done through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You know, John goes on and tells the seven churches in Asia about some ways that overcomers would be blessed. And if you're an overcomer tonight, you're saved, you know Jesus is the Christ, then you are an overcomer. I just want to take a few moments and go through some of these reports that John uses to the seven churches and gives us some great promises. Because like Colossians says, we need to look at the things above. We need to keep our eyes on heaven. I'm not in a great big hurry to get there. But praise God, I know when I get there, I'll be with the Lord. Amen? But he's going to give us some great promises when we get there. So if you go with me to the first church in Ephesus, John starts off there. Let's go to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. He starts off in his exhortation here, and he says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches." He says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say unto the churches." You know, when he uses that term, Jesus uses that term, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say unto," he's talking about those that are saved. He's talking to you. He's trying to get your attention. I'm going to tell you something very, 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 very important. Amen? Amen. Go back to me with Matthew chapter 11, verse 15. Don't lose your place in Revelation, though, because we'll go back there. Matthew 11, 17. Matthew 11, I'm sorry, verse 15. Verse 15, this is Jesus talking. And he's saying, he that hath ear to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. Mark chapter 4, verse 9. Mark 4, verse 9. No better teacher than Jesus, is there? So if we can follow him, he's trying to get these people to be alert and listen to him. Mark 4:9. And it's he said in verse 9, and he said unto them, Jesus said unto them, he that hath ears, let him hear. He went on in verse 23. He says, if any man have ears, let him hear. You know, we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit to hear God's Word. God's Word is foolishness to those that don't believe. You have to have a spiritual ear. So Jesus is telling us, John is telling us, I've got something very, very important I want to tell you. So he says, he that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. Folks, tonight, the Lord is speaking unto the churches through the Spirit. If you're saved, you're going to understand these things. He's saying in verse 7, to him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. We're going to be explaining some of these wonderful blessings that Jesus has given to us and will give to us when we get to heaven. We keep our eyes on him. Amen. Go back to him with me to Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. The Lord says back there, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also is in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We see that this tree was beautiful. It must have been gorgeous, and the fruit of it must have been indescribable. Amen? And then we see in Genesis chapter 3, starting with verse 12, we won't read all that, but it talks about how Adam and Eve fell, and God put a flaming sword and cherubims in front of the tree of life so Adam would not partake of that and live forever in his sin. The tree of life denotes that of eternal life. Eternal life comes through Jesus Christ. Amen. But it's symbolic to partake of that tree of life and live with Christ forever. John, go to me with me just to regular John chapter 3, verse 15. John 3, verse 15 says, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life, folks, comes from Jesus Christ. Amen? How about John chapter 10, verse 28? And the Lord says here, I will give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Folks, when we get saved, we're saved. We're in security. We have that security. God, the devil or no one else will ever be able to pluck us out of God's hand. And that is a tremendous blessing, a blessing for someone that didn't believe that, someone that was lost. And in an occult, you know, and then the Lord came by and saved me. I accepted him as my Savior, and I became an overcomer because I knew that through him I would have eternal life. John chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come to condemnation, but to pass from death unto life. Look at the cross. Look at the thief on the cross. All he had to do was to look at Jesus. He didn't have time to get baptized. He didn't have time to serve in the church. He didn't have time to preach. He didn't have time to be a minister. He looked toward Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. And he got saved and he got eternal life. John 3, verse 36. I just have to preach Jesus tonight. And the Lord promised me, if I did, the Holy Spirit would guide me. And I'm praying that the Lord will continue. In John 3, verse 36, he says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Folks, Jesus is our only way. Now, if we go back to Genesis, and we don't have to turn there, but I'll read it for you. In Genesis 3, 24, the Lord says he drove out the man and he placed in the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turneth every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Christ put a block in front of eternal life when Adam and Eve partook of that fruit. He took a block. There's no way for a man to become eternal with Jesus Christ. He put a block in front of it. There's no way. There's no way. You can't earn your way to heaven. It's only through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by man. The only way that cherubim and that flaming sword can be removed so man can live eternally with God is through Jesus Christ, O Lord. And Jesus does that, and he promises that in Revelations here in chapter 2, 7. When he says that he will promise to give us, to be able to partake of the tree of life. He's going to remove the flaming sword and the cherubims. He has, I believe, removed that by going to the cross and dying for us. And he's opened up the way for everyone as we begin, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord can be saved. Amen? And we no longer have to go through the flaming sword and the cherubims to try to partake of eternal life because Jesus did it. You know, Adam's sin started from a tree and started from a fruit. And you know, I just stopped and thought, the way to eternal life came because of a tree and fruit. It came because of the tree of Calvary. And the fruit of thereof was salvation to mankind. So this is the way that the Lord overcome that terrible blockage was through the death of his Son. And someday, folks, if we keep our eyes on him, we're going to be able to partake of that tree of life. Amen? I have Revelations 22:2-4. That's, we need to read that. Because this is where we will find the tree of life today or in the future. Revelations chapter 22. It says, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yield her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there is no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. We want to be able to have life eternal through Jesus Christ, and someday we'll be able to partake of that wonderful tree of life. Can you imagine what those 12 fruit? I'm not a fruit eater. My wife eats fruit every single morning. Me, I have to be begged to eat fruit. But someday I'm going to be able to partake of the tree of life. And I'm different fruit every month. So I'm looking forward to that. Amen. The second thing that John does, he goes on, of course, to the church of Smyrna. And he gets their attention once again. He says, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. He says, if you have ears, listen. Listen up. I'm going to tell you something important. Because if you are an overcomer, you will not be hurt of the second death. Fear. You know, I think, I don't know about you, but I think every person fears death. Even those that of us that are lost. Are you excited that you could die tonight? Really? I mean, I'm not. You know, I know eternity is forever and ever. This life is just a vapor. You know, I can blink my eyes and see where I kind of, you know, 76 years passed by just with a blink of an eye. And now, you know, someday I can blink my eyes, I'll be in heaven for eternity. As the song Amazing Grace says, we, you know, even after 1,000 years, we have more years to praise God. And I'm looking forward to that. But the Lord that Paul preached today about life, life is sacred. And the Lord gave us that life to manifest and to proclaim Him and to bring Him glory. But life is here to be enjoyed. Amen. You know, we all, I think, can anticipate death through faith. You know, we read in 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident, I say, and will rather be absent from the body than to be present with the Lord. We can quote all these fancy scriptures, but we still, each one of us is going to face death. And the Lord, we know, took the sting of death, but yet that is an experience that we never had. I don't know about you, but anytime you experience something new, it's kind of emotionally, right? So, you know, we can go to Romans 14:8. It says, for whether we live or we live unto the Lord, whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. So, hey, we know, we are the Lord's. But death has haunted mankind, and I think man fears death more than almost anything, especially those that are lost. Because a lot of the things that are going on today, the lost feels when they die, they're going to be just totally annihilated, that there is no further existence. You know, but we that are overcomers, we know that that's not true. We get to live with the Lord forever and ever. In 1 Corinthians 15:55, the Lord says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus overcame death, didn't he? He overcame sin. And therefore, we can have victory over death through Jesus Christ. The Barnes, in his commentary, he says this, death of this body ends all hope for us in this world. But the second death will end all hope for eternity. Simply put, if you're an overcomer, you've been born twice. And if you've been born twice, you only die once. If you've only been born once, a physical body, and you die without Jesus, without being born again, then you have to die twice. That is the second death. Revelation 20, verse 14. You're supposed to preach till 7? All right, Revelation 20. I'm trying to preach Jesus tonight. Amen. Revelation 20 and verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Folks, those of us that are saved and are overcomers will never have to taste that death, that second death, and be cast into outer darkness. The third church that John was talking to was the church of Pergamos. And he says there in verse 17, Revelation 2:17, we'll go back there. I don't know if we'll cover all these churches tonight, but we'll keep preaching Jesus Christ. Amen. Chapter 2, verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. Again, John is saying, listen up, folks. We're going to tell you something special. I have a special blessing for you, because he says, to him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and a stone, a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that received it. Wow, you know, who doesn't like to eat? Amen? When you talk about manna, you talk about food. The pastor preached a little bit about food last Sunday. I was all for that until he mentioned that ice cream was bad. But, you know, I guess the pastor has to preach the whole council, right? You can't skirt around because there's a few in us in the congregation that like ice cream. But we maybe have to repent anyway. But we all like the word food, and we all think about manna. And when we think about manna, we think about the children of Israel. In Exodus 16, verse 4, the Lord said, "Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you." The Lord will provide again for his children. He gave them bread of life. In Psalms, it calls it the corn of heaven. In Exodus 16, it says, "And Moses said unto Aaron, Take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein and lay it before the Lord and keep it for the congregation." He put a little bit of omer in the omer and put it in the ark. It became hidden manna. But Jesus said that someday we'll be able to partake of hidden manna. And I think that hidden manna is going to be a little bit better than just some corn. I know a pastor likes corn, doesn't he? I love corn too, but this is heavenly corn. But the hidden manna, I think, is even greater than that. Amen? Now, I always think about this. When Jesus went to Samaria, he got to the well. And then when he got to the well, they had journeyed. They were hungry. They were tired and hungry. So he sent the disciples into town to buy food and to buy something good to eat. And we know the story. By the time the disciples got back, they were going to give Jesus the food. Jesus said, "I'm not hungry any longer." And they questioned, "Well, did someone bring them food?" No, he said, "I have food that you know not of." He has that hidden manna, amen? And I think that's what Jesus was talking about, because he is the bread of life, amen? He's going to give us that hidden manna that we'll be able to have that eternal nourishment from the Lord Jesus Christ and be able to partake of that day and night. You know, in this blessing, I think he gives us some free add-ons to the blessings. First of all, he says he's going to give us a white stone. And there's kind of different ways that we can look at that. First of all, we can kind of look at that a lot of people refer to the Urim and Thummim. The Urim and Thummim was most likely two stones, a white stone and a black stone. And Aaron kept it close to his heart. And it was there for answering questions. It was there for guidance from the Lord. And second way that we can look at a white stone and a black stone is found in the Roman court. They used that. Is Nathaniel here? Nathaniel, come up. I want to illustrate this maybe to you. Paul, I don't want to shock you, but we found out that Nathaniel was trying to cut the neighbor's yard. And he cut the lady's beautiful flowers all down. And then he got mad and tore them all up. She got mad and called the police. The police came and took Nathaniel away and was going to arrest him. And then he ended up in court. But as the judge was about to pronounce you guilty because you did that, the judge found out that he was going to pronounce you guilty. He was going to give you that black stone. It made you have to go to jail. But the judge found out that someone came behind you, paid for all those bad flowers, came and repaired the yard, and now the judge is going to pronounce you innocent. And he's going to give you a white stone. The white stone illustrates that you're innocent. You don't have to pay for your crime because someone else paid for you. Amen? Thank you. That kind of illustrates, you can go down, that kind of illustrates, I think, what the Romans did, because they had the white stone and the black stone. I don't know about you folks, but before I got saved, I deserved the black stone. And not just a little pebble like this. My black stone was so big it wouldn't fit in this room, amen? You know, when I was little and I was naughty, my mom always gave me some coal in my stocking. I guess that's where that came from. Because if you're bad, you're going to get the black stone. Amen. But the Lord came and he took up our sins for us on Calvary. He paid for that sin. He opened up the way for eternal life that we can partake of the tree of life and be able to do that and not receive a black stone, but we're going to receive a white stone. Amen. Amen. From free add-on. He says he's not only going to give you a white stone, but he's going to give you a stone with your name on it. Amen. A new name, not just an old name of Doug. You know, that's getting new names isn't anything new, is it? The Lord did that. The Lord changed Abram's name to Abraham. The Lord changed Sarai's name to Sarah. Jacob, he changed to Israel. Simon, he changed to Peter. And we know what happened to Paul. Paul got his name changed because he used to be known as Saul. Oh, my goodness, you know. I think Saint Noel's always uses name changes. Look what happened to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They got their name changed to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel, which served the Lord, and his name actually means God is my judge. He got his name changed to Belteshazzar, which means to protect the king. Protect an earthly king, not the heavenly king. Amen. You know, one day Doug Cherry got his name changed, too, as he went through the Mormon temple and went through what they call the Mormon your endowments. You get your body washed and blessed by a priest, and then he pronounces upon you a new name, a name that you would be known as in heaven. Does that ring a bell to the scriptures? The Lord told me here that I would receive a new name in heaven from him, that only him and I know. But yet, if you go to the Mormon temple, I can go on to research from Salt Lake City and find out the day I went through the Mormon temple years ago. Of course, now my name hopefully has been washed off of that because I've been excommunicated. But I can look it up in a computer and it will tell you what your name was that day you went to the temple. And all the men that went through the temple that day got the same name. And all the women that went through the temple and had their washing and anointing and receiving of their new name, got the same name. Now, there's going to be many, I'm sure, names in heaven that are repeated. But just stop and look. If I would known the scriptures, I wouldn't have gotten caught up in Mormonism. Amen? Oh, my goodness, let's pray Jesus. We all know that we'll be given a new name by God. And we're looking forward to that. You know, one thing I like to say about this is that when we look at something and we try to get something, we get it. But it's not as good if we just wait and let the Lord give it. Amen? My mom and dad gave me the name of Douglas. I don't know what my real new name in heaven will be, but I know it's going to probably be nicer than Douglas. And you might think the same thing. Another way to look at this white stone and black stone is in the Romans, in their sports arena, if you came back or if you were a warrior in the war and you won the battle, you came back, they gave you, well, let me not go that way. Let me go into the games. If you were like the Olympian and you got victory and you won the victorious game that you won, you would receive a white stone. And on that white stone would be your name. And it was known as the victory stone. And guess what? With that victory stone, you would receive all what you ever need from the rest of your life from the government provided. But most important, that name was an invitation for you to go to the once-a-year huge banquet that they held for the Olympians. With that name and that invitation, you were invited into the banquet. And folks, as we just read, if you're an overcomer tonight, you're going to get a new name, and you're going to get it on a white stone. And if we're not adding to the scriptures, I don't think, but that white name, that name and that stone might be our invitation to the great banquet that the Lord's got prepared for those that love him. Amen? The great marriage thing. I'm not going to be able to finish all these tonight, but there's just so many blessings that the Lord has in store for those of us that are overcomers. I just want to mention these, and then we'll just say praise the Lord for his goodness tonight. The fourth church was Thyatira, and Paul says with that we would be able to have power over the nations, and we would be given the morning star. The pastor, thank goodness, preached a little bit of that on Sunday night, because that's, I think, kind of a difficult topic, but we will someday become judges, and we will become rulers with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? In Matthew, he says, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, or becoming an overcomer, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of glory, he shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." to the church of Sardis, John says, you will so be clothed with a white raiment, and the name will not be removed from the book of life. We wanted to spend some time on this, but we will all be dressed in white. White represents a purity. White represents the righteousness of Christ, because Christ came and he shed his blood for us, and through his blood we can be made righteous, and we'll be able to be dressed in white. The scriptures say that when we go to that great marriage of the Lamb, we will all be dressed in white. Amen. Let me see. To the church of Philadelphia in Revelation 3:12, again, John says, to him that overcometh, I will make a pillar of the temple. The pillar represents something that is strong, something that is secure. If you look at the pillars found in Solomon's temple, we have the pillar of Boaz, and that means the pillar of strength. The other pillar was Jacob, and that means established. He says, we'll become the pillars in the kingdom of God. We'll become strong, and the most important, we'll become secure, which means we'll never have to leave the portals of heaven. We'll be there forever and ever, because Jesus Christ opened up that way for us to have eternal life with him. Paul preached this morning about the only one way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come unto him but by him. We can play church all we want. I played church. I played religion. Folks, I read by my Bible. I'm preaching Jesus. I'm not preaching anything glory about Doug Cherry. But I want you to know what a Mormon has to do. A Mormon has to prove himself. A Mormon doesn't have security. The scripture said, and the Mormonism says that you're saved by faith after all you can do. Scriptures don't say that. It's by faith that I'm saved. Jesus saved me once and for all. But when I was a Mormon, I had to read the Bible, the Book of Mormon, the Pearl of Great Price, the Doctrine and Covenants, the monthly Ensign magazine, which comes out from Salt Lake City, that represents the words from the living prophet, whose scriptures words are considered scriptures. That was just a touch of it. Then we pay our tithes, we pay our offerings. We had to work monthly on the welfare farm, had to plow the garden and make sweet potatoes for the welfare, to feed the poor. We had to go to the temple daily or monthly, and we had to be married in the temple. And these are just a touch of the iceberg. But if you're in an occult, you're all the time trying to work your way to heaven. And I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I loved him, I think, all the time I was in Mormonism. But all that time, the Lord kept speaking to me. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. And then one day, I was in the church for, 5 years before the Lord finally broke me down and said, Brother Doug, you need to be saved. I played church even after I got out of Mormonism. I played church because I wasn't going to let a Baptist preacher tell me about Jesus, because I knew Jesus. But the Lord had to bring me down, folks. And when the Lord brought you down, he opened up the way for me to be able to accept him as my Savior. And I praise him. He does great things in our lives. And not only that, we need to be looking for these great promises that the Lord has. And later in Revelations, he also said that all things will be given to those that overcome. So we have great, great promises. Promises that we can't even comprehend because of the greatness of Jesus Christ. I love the Lord. I just thank you so much for this time. And I pray that something was said through the Spirit that we might be able to grasp on tonight. Now, I did say at the beginning that my message was for those of us who are saved. But folks, if you're sitting here tonight and you're playing church like I did, you've got the black stone. You're lost. You're not an overcomer. And you don't have any opportunity to look at these great promises that we've looked at. You don't get to partake of the tree of life. You don't get to be clothed in white. You don't get a white stone. You don't get your name. You don't go to the banquet. You don't be able to do those great promises that the Lord has given, because you're lost. You have to know Jesus Christ. And through him, he promised you a white stone. There's a little bowl in the back. There's a bowl of white stones and a bowl of little black stones. If you're saved tonight and you're an overcomer, you've accepted Christ as your Savior, take a little white stone and just men, keep it in your pocket as a little reminder that you're an overcomer and you have these great promises waiting for you. And folks, tonight, if you are lost and you're going to leave tonight without accepting Christ, take the black stone so that you'll be reminded daily that you have no hope for the future, no hope for heaven. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you again for the opportunities to take a moment to share with you the word. We pray that your Holy Spirit was here. We pray that we were blessed tonight by hearing your word. For we know by hearing your word, we have faith. And through faith, we're saved through the wonderful gift. We just praise you tonight. Thank you so much for all you do. We continue to pray for our pastor. We pray for Brother Paul as he continues to lead the church here while the pastor's away. And just bless him and his family. Bless Liz as she's about to give birth. And just let all things be done for your glory. We ask in Jesus Christ's name tonight. Amen.